This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, saving your day from boredom with the best podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, nerds. I'm Mark Weber, and you are listening to A Graphic Conversation, the bi-weekly podcast where we read, discuss, and recommend the best, and hopefully not the worst, in graphic novels. I'm joined, as I always am, by good friend and the original man-child, Ricky Widmer.
Do I do laundry? I don't know. It's been the same two clothes for two episodes.
Right. or you do laundry so much that you can wear the same clothes in the same episodes.
And with these, it's always one of those where it's like, obviously we do so many. We do record these multiples in one day.
Nope.
Because I've got so
just
many
wear the same clothes.
Mark, it's the reason why I say that is Dave and I did the math.
Yeah.
I have so many t-shirts that I could probably go 2 months before you see the same t-shirt twice.
Nice. I knew a girl who, well, I still know her, but in high school, she had so much clothing that she went a whole semester without ever repeating the same like outfit. It's impressive.
See, that just sounds like it. I shouldn't say this, but
sounds
I will.
Like you have
it sounds like
clothes?
A girl thing.
I was just going to say it sounds like you have too much clothes.
Well, that, but I would expect a girl to do that.
I think even still. I mean, before a guy, sure, but even
like
still,
my shorts,
I don't think you should have that much.
I repeat shorts. I only got a few shorts that I cycle through, but shirts. I've bought so many from T-Fury and WWE that it's like, you know what? I can go a while before I repeat shirts.
Yes,
on
you
podcasts.
Sure can. And if anyone keeping track at home, how many times has he worn the Fighting Imp shirt? I don't know. Twice?
I don't think it's been a while. I think it's been a while with this one. Usually I save this for the PTP or if we're talking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we will not be talking Game of Thrones on this one, but we will be talking about Sophie Turner, kind of. Not really.
Maybe. She may come up.
We're reading, or we had read for this, X-Men, The Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah, we're going to read it on the podcast.
Yep, it's no...
Mark goes a page, I go a page.
It's like popcorn in school. This is typically known as one of the better X-Men stories. It gets referenced all the time. People kind of steal their own parts from it because it's just a pretty damn cool story.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about things involving it. First, without spoilers, so don't worry if you haven't read it. And then we'll warn you before we ruin everything. And that will be in our spoiler mode. But, you know, just one quick thing before we get into this. If you want to be on this podcast, you can do that. Especially, I know there's a lot of really hardcore X-Men fans out there. You could be on this show with us. All it takes is $10 on our Patreon, and each month you get to be on any of our MVP podcasts, one a month. You can pick this one. That would be a pretty cool choice.
We have yet to have a patron. We've had people suggest things.
Yes.
But wouldn't it be special to have someone on a podcast
to suggest
with us
it and then
and
actually
suggest
do it.
It? Yeah.
Yeah, like that would be cool. So there's definitely some cool stuff that you can do. You can always just be a part of the conversation, too, on Twitter. I'm at TheMarkWeber. This is at Ricky Widmer or at Most Valuable Pod. Got a lot of options for you. Let's talk about the Dark Phoenix Saga. What were your expectations coming into this? Because you had not read it. Like, this was like you read it for the show, right?
I had not read it before reading it for AGC.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting... My thoughts might have been a little bit not over-exaggerated, but I was really hyped for this one because I've heard so many great things about it. Of course, the X-Men animated series version of Dark Phoenix has kind
different.
Of been like my quintessential, like, that is, just give me that. Like, if you do a movie, Dark Phoenix Saga, give me that. Have not liked the last, movie? This is going to be the second time we try Dark Phoenix Saga. Didn't go good the first time with Bryan Singer, so he's going to try
it
again.
Though I don't know if I count that as truly trying the Dark Phoenix Saga.
No, they bastardized it.
It was just kind of a, hey, let's just throw this out there and just see if anyone bites.
But reading this, I had really high hopes because of how many good things and great things I've heard about Dark Phoenix, the comic that we're reading.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, it's one of those things that when it comes to comic books, it's one of those ones where it's kind of a must for a lot of people. It's a must read. So for me, I'm always excited about X-Men. I always think it's going to be a good time when we do this. So far in this season, this is our second time we've gotten to X-Men, because we did Avengers v. X-Men. And the Dark Phoenix saga, it's one of those things where, like, Dark Phoenix is such a cool character, a cool existence.
But it's actually the second time we're reading not just an X-Men,
but something with Dark Phoenix.
Something with Dark Phoenix in it.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix is cool, but the thing that always makes me nervous is, like, you know, that movie. The last... No, which
Dark
one?
Phoenix.
Yeah, but no, but not Dark last Phoenix, Stand. Though. Last Stand wasn't the Dark Phoenix saga, was it?
Yeah, it was X-Men X United. X-2.
Oh, no, because X United was the Wolverine origin story. Okay, so...
you're thinking X-Men kind Origins. Of.
No, but X2, like, they went back to where he got the blades.
Days of Futures Past?
No, X2. I guarantee you, X2 is when they, because remember, they match up with Magneto
X-Men 3 was the Last Stand.
Yeah, that was the one where they get into Dark Phoenix. Yeah. X2 is when they go into, Riker's lab.
Yeah, it was
lab.
Just X2.
Yep.
Yep, you know, you're right. X-Men Unite. On Google, it just says X2. But on the DVD box, it says X-Men Unite.
Because they united. That was a fun time. I like those movies for what they are, but it did kind of leave a little bit of that bad taste in your mouth for Dark Phoenix.
12, 13 when they came out?
Yeah, it came out in 2000.
2003.
Well, the original one came out in 2000.
Yeah. So X2 was 2003, and then X3 was 2006.
Yeah.
So 3 years in between each one.
So... But, you kind of think about that Dark Phoenix, and you're like, ugh. If that's what this story is about, I don't know if I wanted any part of it. It does not look that interesting. Fortunately, the comics are much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this for, though? Like, who should read this?
X-Men fans, Marvel fans, anyone that really likes a good X-Men story, this is right up your alley. Yes, it's long. I will say that.
Quite very long, actually.
You got to basically take your favorite beverage, kind of put it down next year, make sure you got a big gulp. You might have to go to the bathroom a couple times. Use the facilities during this one. This was a great one for me as we were going to Easter. That's when I read it. And going to Easter with the family, got in the back seat, and I just opened up my tablet and read Dark Phoenix all the way there and all the way back.
Yeah, it's a long one. It does a pretty good job of keeping you going, though. I mean, I'm not really that worried about that for you.
Pacing isn't horrible.
I think anybody really can jump into this. I mean, whether you're just X-Men, whether you just are Marvel, whether you are a DC fan, I think you'll appreciate it.
Would this be a good intro to X-Men? Let's say you've never read an X-Men comic before. Is this a good starter, or do you need to start with something else?
No, I wouldn't start with this. Especially if you're a modern person into X-Men, it's hard to jump back into a 70s comic and be like, yeah, this art style really speaks to me. Because it is very
classic. The art style is very unique.
Yeah, it's a very classic kind of looking, comic book style to it. But
you can also tell it the whole how comics were released of like 1 month.
Yeah.
All right. You got to wait a while because we got to write it. All right. Here's the second one. Because there'd even be times where it's like, blah, 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 blah. This was referenced in the last issue.
Exactly.
Where at the time it would have been like, thanks for the reminder. This time it was like, yeah, I get it. I'm reading them back to back.
And you also get people who skip months.
Yes.
And just go in, I'll just pick up the X-Men comic because, it's the 70s and that's what we do. So I don't know. And I don't necessarily know that you should jump in with this one. There's other great X-Men comics that you can read. But it is very important, I think, for you to do it. You should eventually read this. This trade paperback. So it's cool. And Dark Phoenix is kind of important for you to know about, I think. I think that for most of this, we should probably just get right into spoiler mode. I don't think there's too much we should talk about without spoilers.
Yeah, you might be right. I just think that the main thing with this one is, I mean, it's a quintessential X-Men comic. I love what they do with Jean. I also really like, and I don't know if this is a spoiler, but I'm going to say it anyways.
There it is.
Kitty Pryde is in this, and I really like what they do with Kitty Pryde because they actually, Much better than the last Kitty Pryde movie. In my sense, they actually make her, like, mean something
mm-hmm.
and actually kind of a little bit of a badass compared to, like, oh, Kitty Pryde, it's you're a cute little one, like pinch the cheeks kind of a thing. Where this one, it's like, holy shit, she's actually doing shit.
Yeah, Kitty Pryde's much cooler in this than Days of Future Past.
Dude, Days of Future Past sucked, though. Remember Dante's Inferno? Oh, I don't remember. Nightcrawler?
I remember Dante's Inferno. And I remember how much I hated it.
It was like, wait, what does this have to do with anything we're reading?
Why is this here?
There is none of that in this, which
we
is
had
great.
Room for it. We just shoved it in there because why the hell not?
Read Days of Futures Past.
What was the Christmas one or something with Kitty Pryde?
That's right. I forgot about that.
And that was just there for some reason, too.
Oh.
This all makes sense. It's a concrete story. And it, you know, it's fun. You're going to like it. With that being said, if you want to read it but you don't want it spoiled, don't press pause yet, but you will be able to in just a moment. If you don't care, if you're just here for the conversation, then fantastic. Great. Welcome. Enjoy. But please let us know down below what you guys think if you have read this in the past or you are going to be coming back once you do. If you don't want anything spoiled, though, you should press pause now. And for everybody else, welcome. You're back. We're still here. All right. So, do you buy the hype? I want to ask this question first because this reference is something that always comes up with Jean Grey. Do you truly buy the hype that Jean Grey is like the most powerful X-Men?
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason why is basically because from what X-Men has told me, the leader of the X-Men is a telepath. It is Professor X. And basically in the world, when you look at it, just in this comic alone, who were the mutants that were the most powerful?
This is all about psychics, telepaths.
Professor X, what he was able to do, especially with Kitty Pryde's family. Emma Frost, how she was able to capture the X-Men by herself, basically, with the help of her goons, but basically by herself.
Mastermind.
And the one thing I will say about that, I love the, like, gut ruthlessness of Emma Frost, where it's basically like, oh, our men are back there. Like, they didn't capture the X-Men. We should save them. Nope. They knew what they were getting into. They failed. Boom. Dead. Like, oh, my God. Like, if you don't succeed, you are dead to me, literally. Oh, my God. That is awesome. So, yeah, with Jean Grey being a telepath, I believe the hype of her being so powerful. And that's why I believe maybe the Dark Phoenix was drawn to her. Because it could see, like, Emma Frost and Professor X, to me, are more in control of their power. Jean, because she's so powerful, I've always seen it to where she's not in control of it like she should be. And that's why something like the Dark Phoenix was able to get in and infect her.
They always try and sell Jean Grey as this really powerful person who can never control it. And that's the thing where I say part of me doesn't buy it because she always fails. Like, Jean Grey does a lot of, like, not being successful at a lot of this and, like, can never truly unlock her powers. And with Dark Phoenix, I think, is a big part of it, too, where she ends up losing quite impressively at the end. You know, she dies. But there's the other side of it, too, that comes from this, too, with the Watchers saying that Jean Grey could have lived to become a god, but it's more important that she die a human.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have this interesting balance where it's like, oh, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I also kind of see it as, I don't want to, I don't know if I want to use the word naive, but I think that's the word I'm going to use with it too. Whereas, like, I always saw, obviously Emma Frost is a bad guy, and bad guys are usually not naive. Professor X is also not naive. Like, Professor X knows the reality of it, of basically life, and is not going to live in a fantasy world where I feel like Jean Grey, it kind of goes back to our conversation, and this, I'm not going to give any Game of Thrones spoilers, but check out episode 2 of the MVP podcast, which will be coming out in June, that Mark and I did, or you can Patreon.com/mostvalpodcast for $1. You can check it out right now as it's live there. when we were talking about Jamie's character arc,
mm-hmm.
and you had mentioned where it's like everyone's getting mad at like the how he's still flawed at this point. And
yeah.
it's not a complete like arc to where he conquered his flaws. That's what I see with Jean Grey, of like because of her being, and I still don't even know if naive's the word, but I'm still going to use it. Like with her and that naivety, where it's basically she is not like, it's a relatable thing of I have this flaw,
mm-hmm.
and she's just not able to to control it. Where it's almost like to me, where people with a Avengers Endgame loved Thor. Like, people love Thor in Avengers Endgame because there's so many memes that I've seen where it's basically like Thor was depressed, Thor was down, Thor thought he was worthless, but in the end, even though he was depressed, even though he was down, that didn't make him worthless because he was still able to basically control Mew Mew and still have Stormbreaker, even though how he was feeling. I kind of almost get a feeling of that with Jean, where it's like there are going to be things in your life, some people, where you have this great power, but you just can't control it and you can't get a grasp of it, and it's totally okay if you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's, I don't know if Stan Lee was thinking about that when he wrote Jean Grey, but I get a little bit of that Jean Grey to where it's like, it's okay to be flawed. It's okay to not master everything and still have to battle with yourself.
Yeah. The only hard part with that is the fact that, well, with Jean Grey, inevitably she dies. Like, she fails.
Yeah.
In a way. And she kind of sacrifices herself. But
for the greater good.
Yeah, unfortunately with, you know, for the Phoenix power, that it just goes, all right, I'll go back into my little egg and I'll go get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't stop. No, it's like the Terminator. You can only delay it. You cannot stop it completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, there definitely is a little bit of that. And she kind of...
Is Scott part of the problem?
I don't know, because Scott...
Like, her love for Scott, like, is that
Scott's
something...
Scott's what kind of keeps her in
grounded?
Check a little bit.
Okay.
And there's that issue with where Scott and Mastermind are fighting each other psychically. And Scott loses, and then that sets Jean off again, as sets her back to Dark Phoenix. Can I also add in here that...
You're not talking about the sword fight, right?
No.
You're talking about after we knew he was Mastermind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there was also that, like, that was to me
mm-hmm.
a great twist that I didn't even catch when they showed the shadow. And mm-hmm. it's like Stan Lee wanted you to know, where it was basically like the shadow made a weird thing that doesn't look like Moriarty. And you're like, oh, all right, whatever. And then looking back and you're looking at it, I kind of looked at it and went, Ricky, you're so fucking stupid. You should have.
Yeah.
That should have clicked a light bulb of like, that shouldn't make sense.
Also want to, before somebody yells at us, Stan Lee is not one of the writers of this.
Oh, okay.
Comic.
That was my mistake.
Claremont and Brian.
Okay.
Brian, Breen, something like that. John Brian.
I just like giving Stan Lee credit.
Someone get
for
mad
everything.
At us about that. I said this guy's name wrong. But anyways, I do love the fact that this should set a big warning bell off for everybody. Mm-hmm. Jean Grey's out in space having a good time. And she comes back with a new costume and says, I'm Phoenix now.
Yeah.
Everyone should go, hold on one second.
What's
I don't know about
on?
This is a little weird. Why?
Mm-hmm.
People should ask a little bit more questions of why Jean suddenly is a lot more powerful and refers to herself as something else.
Yeah.
When someone comes back and says, nope, this is who I am now. Forget about my old self. Yes, you ask some questions. So do you like the space stuff? I mean, not just like the her being in space mm-hmm. initially. Like, do you like Jean Grey literally destroying a planet of full of people and
you know
being
what?
Considered worse than Galacticus?
I do.
Galactus.
And the reason why I like it is because of it shows kind of like the...
How deadly she is?
Well, not just that, where it's like if her... it shows how strong she can be. And it's almost like that thing where we've seen with other characters before, where it's like, mm-hmm. all right, if by you trying to be good, you are keeping your powers in check. What would happen if you just let it all go? Just let it all go. And that's what the Phoenix mm-hmm. Force yeah. does, of basically like, yeah, no, we're just going to take this dial.
We're going
to
kill.
And we're going to turn it all the way up to 10 and see what happens, to where you go, all right, yeah, no, she is the strongest. Don't piss her off. Don't make her angry. Jean, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, please don't kill
like
me.
It's like the, you know, the part with a lot of these X-Men, if you just set Wolverine loose and we're like, go kill, because you
how many times
really
in the
killed?
Movie, like, he gets triggered and it's just,
yeah.
like in Logan, it was just like, oh my God. Like, him at berserk. The end, like, going berserk and just killing everyone was like, holy shit, yeah, go get it.
Yeah.
Go get it, Logan.
Go kill some people. It'll be a lot of fun. We like watching it. And that's the thing with anything, I mean, you know, to cross over to DC land, only because my in-laws were watching Man of Steel the other day.
Not the worst. Not the worst choice you could have made.
Then they move on to, if they had moved on to the next one.
Suicide Squad?
No, Batman v Superman.
Oh, God, don't watch
Superman
that.
Superman v Batman, whichever way it is. But
don't watch that.
Where Lex Luthor's point in this movie, but
you
also just
Joker's
in general, is simply that, well, he could just kill us all if he wanted.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, Superman could just kill all of you if he wanted. That's always the point with these superheroes, that at any point they could just flip and everything goes to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Thus you get, speaking of Superman, Red Sun.
Yeah.
So it is kind of fun to see that. It's kind of cool to see that. And it's nice to see her just absolutely unleash and create some pretty huge issues in the galaxy as then, you know, they're getting, who was it? The Imperial Guard. I forgot their name.
Lilandra.
Yeah. Where they're like, so just letting you guys know, Jean Grey came over to our house and she pissed all over our bathroom. I mean, all over.
That rug really tied the room together, yeah, Mark.
On the ceiling. I don't know how she got it up there. In the shower.
That rug really tied the room together.
Which is
did
weird because the shower has a door, so she must have opened it. I'm really upset.
That nihilist bastard.
She killed everybody. And we're kind of upset about it.
With her pee, she killed everybody. Yeah.
Deadly. And you know, we're thinking that maybe she's got to die now.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give her to us?
Yeah.
And we'll kill her. And of course, the X-Men are going to say no. Which I get, because, you know, Charles Xavier, he's kind of viewing her as this little child he's got to mm-hmm. save.
Well, and that's his flaw. Like,
yeah.
You even see it at the beginning, and I love the beginning, too, of like where they're training and Professor X is pushing them. And it's like, I know what's best for the team. And Scott's like, dude, let me fucking lead, man. Like, trust me with this, bro. Like, I need to, like, I can't lead if you're always going to breathe down my neck and second guess every decision that I'm going to make. To where even Professor X kind of has that thought of like, yeah, maybe I just have to let Scott lead this team. Maybe I'm disconnected from the team.
Yeah. And he's always going to have that savior part of him that he needs to save everybody.
Because he's like
their dad.
That's
the school of mutants.
Yeah.
You know, that he's going to save all these kids that most of them have been cast out of their homes. You know, if they're not runaways.
Like Kitty Pryde.
Yep. And so he's not going to let go. He's not going to let her do that. And that creates this big ultimate fight as well. Kind of trial by combat for Jean's life. But, you know, something I do love is the emergency measure of, well, guess we'll just destroy everything and hope that it also destroys her.
Mm-hmm.
Very classic kind of comic book
kind
of a thing of like, let's just kill everything. But also for the same time at this era, you don't always get the darkest stuff.
No.
So it's really cool to have something in this context get as dark as we'll just destroy everything instead.
Because
at least that way we know she's dead.
Well, and that's like the whole impactful thing where like you got to think about it, like take it back at its time where it's like with Jean, this was a major X-Men character that they were killing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was basically like, holy shit, Jean Grey, who is one of the main members of the X-Men, is dead now. And we got to live with that. Like, yeah. The X-Men have to live with that, but also we have to live with that going forward.
Exactly. And
because they even referenced it. It was weird to read this one after Avengers v. X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Scott goes back to the planet in Avengers versus X-Men, he references this that we read at the end of this one. And like, oh, this is where she died, and kind of recaps that a little bit.
Exactly. And I think something interesting about that, too, is the order that we read these two in. It's like, oh, we should have maybe read them in the outstore, because now we understand this a little bit better. But it's cool. It kind of makes you appreciate that a little bit better. We're like, oh, hey, I caught on to that. I catch it. So that's pretty cool. In that case, you love the little connections like that between these things. And there is an Avenger in this one as well.
There is, technically.
Kind of an Avenger. Where you're like, I mean, I guess Beast is an Avenger, but if we're going to get into this whole Avengers thing, I mean, where are the rest of them?
Technically, if I'm not wrong, Cap is in it for a couple slides.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Cap basically goes, hey, where's Beast? Isn't he supposed to be manning the phone?
Just in case anybody calls our customer service line.
Yeah.
Hey, we got her fighting some people. You broke my car. Can you get me a new car? And then Beast goes, I can destroy another car for you. But anyways, I just kind of overall with the Dark Phoenix saga, it's pretty cool. Is it the best kind of X-Men thing ever? Maybe not necessarily, but I think it's important. It's really important. I think most X-Men fans really should read this one.
Another scene that, and this was me thinking back to the movies.
Uh-huh.
So it's the scene where she goes back to her family. And at first the family's all happy to see her. Oh my God, Jean's there. And then there's like the whole thing of like she's reading their thoughts.
Yeah.
And like answering their thoughts. It's like, oh my God, like they're driving her crazy, to where she just snaps, to where then the dad snaps at her. When I was reading that, I thought back to X3, The Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? I see what they were trying to do, but they just missed the mark. Like, that's what this made me see a lot of, like,
they gave it
with
a shot.
The Last Stand. What they missed, but also with the Dark Phoenix that we're going to get in, I think this is one where it comes out, our episode comes out the same day that the movie does. I'm going to look it up really quick. But the thing that I'm seeing from the trailers, as we're recording this before the movie has come out, is that there are already kind of ties to the comic. It just, I don't think they're going to hit. And I know that's a conversation for a different day. But, like, even the one where Mystique, who is not in this version but is in the First Class universe, she goes to, like, calmly talk to Jean. And then Jean looks like something sets her off. And it's like, boom. And she pushes everyone back. And that she's kind of jittery, like we see in the comic.
Yeah. I think that this does make me a little bit more excited
to see the film.
Something that I really haven't really thought much about. You know, and I love X-Men, but I really haven't thought about it at all. And it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm not going to see it in theaters. I'll just wait. Yeah, it'll be out, and I'll just get the DVD from Redbox or something.
This is one where this is coming out the day that Dark Phoenix comes out.
Yeah. It makes me a little bit more excited about it. Am I going to see it in theaters? Probably still no.
Yep, Johnny
Not
and I
excited
will.
About it.
Johnny and I will.
Just, you know, and I haven't thought that any of these X-Men movies have been bad. They just haven't necessarily been that great either. And it's tough because it is Marvel, and we see the Marvel movie. I mean, the movies aren't Marvel, but we see the Marvel movies and we're like, those are awesome. Why aren't you awesome? Can you be better too? I mean, the first X-Men movie really started this whole kind of thing of like, hey, maybe we can do this. And then with Iron Man, they really hit the home run and they're like, yeah, we can make a good superhero movie. Not just a superhero movie that's entertaining. We can make a good one. But I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about the movie.
So this is something I've said on the Rick and Johnny podcast, and I'm going to bring up now that we've brought the movies into this, is when it comes to Bryan Singer, because he's been connected to each X-Men movie, I found a trend. 2000, first X-Men movie comes out. He directed it, and he wrote the story. That's all he did. Then X2, he directs it. He's an executive producer. He wrote the story. He even cameoed in it. And then we got X3, he did nothing with. So he wasn't on that at all. Then First Class, he didn't direct it, but he wrote the story and produced it. Days of Futures Past, he directed it, he produced it, he did the concept of it, and he cameoed in it. Apocalypse, he did everything, wrote, direct, produced, cameoed. And then in this one, I believe he's also directing, but didn't write it. And part of me wants to give him a pass of like, okay, the ones that he has not done the story with have been the bad ones. Those have been the ones where it's like, whoa, what are we kind of doing here?
Interesting.
Whereas the ones where he's wrote and directed, those have been, because I'm the same one as you. X-Men I liked. X2 was kind of like, oh, not my favorite, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
The Last Stand, I hated. Same thing with this one. First Class, I loved. Like, I love First Class. Days of Futures Past, didn't like it.
Oh, I thought it was pretty good.
That was the one where I was like, ugh. Apocalypse was all right. And then Dark Phoenix is going to be, I am going in with not super high hopes on that. But it's just kind of an interesting correlation that I've seen with the movies when it comes to Bryan Singer.
And soon, well, for you tonight, you're going to find out if it's worthwhile. But
Mark's this isn't an end game. I might not have to see this in theater.
No, I don't have to see it in theater. I'm not planning to. Should they read it?
Yeah. I think that if you should, like, if X-Men, if you like the X-Men in any way, read this one. You're not going to be disappointed.
I agree. I think this is one. I think almost any comic fan should read it. You know, I know I say that thing about unless it might not be a good starting point for X-Men. So maybe you should read an X-Men comic first.
The only person who shouldn't read this is people that just hate the X-Men. But I don't know of anyone that
those
hates
people
the
suck.
X-Men. Like, I don't know anyone that likes comics. I've never met someone that's like, yeah, I read comics. Man, I hate them X-Men.
Yeah.
I've met some people that hate certain X-Men, but I've never met somebody that just hates the X-Men right out.
That's a good point, because the X-Men are awesome.
Are they your favorite?
Of Marvel, yeah. Of Marvel, X-Men are the best. X-Men just rule. They have good stories. Everybody has a... has their own power, but I don't feel like their powers are usually that OP. I mean, obviously, like, you know, Darth
Phoenix
is.
They're usually kept in check in some way, or they find a way to keep them in check.
Exactly. And it's not just something stupid like, ooh, kryptonite, this random thing we invented that makes you a human.
I mean, to be honest, usually sometimes it's something mental where it's like, hey, I've got my own barriers up here that are blocking me.
Exactly. They're all flawed. But we want to know what you guys think as you're staring at a logo right now.
I could go up and change it, but
it's almost okay. The end. We don't want you to have to get up. Anyways.
Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Let us know what you guys think down below in the comment section or on Twitter at TheMarkWeber for myself, at Ricky Widmer for, of course, Ricky Widmer.
We should probably bring up what we're going to read next week.
We definitely should.
I am looking that up for you. Why The Last Man safe word?
Okay, so here's the thing about Why The Last Man. We've read a bunch of these so far. It's really cool.
We're on volume 4.
There's only one dude left alive and a monkey, who's also a dude.
Ampersand.
Ampersand, who's a real cool monkey. And they get into some post-apocalyptic hygiene. And try and just survive.
I'm just going to say this right now. In 2 weeks, you're going to want to check that episode out. You're going to want to read it, because I've already read it pre-going into it. Boy, this one gets freaky.
Good stuff.
You are going to want to read this one.
So hopefully we'll see you in 2 weeks for that one. Of course, give us those ratings, give us those reviews, and maybe give some money on Patreon so you can be on one of these. All it takes is a dollar to get an extra podcast from MVP and be a part of our Discord channel. But that $10 can be on any of these MVP podcasts. There's a ton of them available for you. So we'll see you in 2 weeks when we read Why the Last Man, Safe Word.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.